I want to introduce our speaker for this morning. This is a man that I've known for, we've started to total up the years. I couldn't think back that far, Matt. But this man is an incredible guy. Matt Prater is a celebrity right around Australia. He is heard on Vision Radio. Does anybody here, have you heard Vision Radio in the past? It does it masquerade as Reamers and a whole bunch of other things and
yeah,
around the
30
other stations and 702 stations this man's voice is heard right around Australia, right through the outback. I mean, it's the voice of God to the outback, these guys in the radio work that they do. But he's not just well known for that. He pastors a fabulous church in at Kelvin Grove, works a lot with inner city people, street people, homeless people, just started a drug rehab. This is a guy who lives the gospel, and that's what I love about him. We ran into each other, well, many a time on Bill Newman meetings and with the Billy Graham Association. So we've served together and we've preached the gospel together, which is a great place to do stuff. You know, well, if you're going to forge a friendship, do it in the gospel. Isn't that right? So I want you to put your hands together and welcome Matt. He's an awesome guy and he's got a great word for us this morning. Come on.
Thank you, Darren. What a blessing to be here today. I'm really honoured to be able to come and speak at Darren Brown's church. Let's give Darren a hand. What a great man of God. We really do need to honour our pastors and leaders. And I remember him telling me a while back he's starting to lead a church. And I can't believe it's 2 years and you haven't run him out of town yet. That's amazing. So, no, he's a great man of God. And, of course, Bill Newman, our mutual friend, is a real father in the faith to our nation. And I can see a lot of Bill's integrity and character and anointing through Darren's ministry as well. So it's a real blessing to be able to minister to hear today. I do just want to mention, if you ever haven't, so I just want to ask again, who has ever listened to Vision Radio before? Okay, so only about half of you here, okay, because it's a bit hard to get on the Sunshine Coast. There's only a few areas you can get it, but we now have an app that you can listen to through your smartphone, or if you've got a dumb phone, you can listen through your computer. So if you want to take a note of it, or if you want to download the app anytime, just search Vision Christian Radio at any of the app stores, and 24/7 you can listen to Christian music, preaching. We do dad jokes on there. We do interviews. I do a show called History Makers as well. And I actually just wanted to, I brought a couple of my books here that I've done over the years. And I wanted to give one to Darren to thank him for having me here today. This one's a bunch of interviews I did with Mac Powell from the band Third Day, Will Graham, our mutual friend, Billy Graham's grandson, Brother Yuen from China, and many others in there, Pastor Wayne Cadero. And I thought I might give the other book to the worship leader today. Let's give her a hand. She did a great job, didn't she, eh? Yeah. That's got Darlene Check. Nathan Tasker, James Morris, and Guy Sebastian, Casting Crowns. So there's some of the books, and I'll give that to you after, Darren. But just wanted to bless you. You know, we need to honour our leaders in the church, don't we? Amen? So, yeah, you can download the Vision Radio app or listen through the website. I think you can get it on 88 FM at a couple of places around the Sunshine Coast. But the other station is Salt 106.5. Who listens to Salt 106.5? Okay. So I do a show called History Makers, which they air as well. I think it was actually on, I think it's 8 a.m. Sunday, so you might have heard it on the way in today. So you can listen out to those. If you do want to listen to Vision Radio, we've also got a Facebook page, and we stream live through a lot of that as well. And we've got a Vision Christian bookstore. So, you know, like Coorong Christian Bookstore store has a lot of great stuff. We sell a lot of great products similar to that. And we play a lot of preachers like Chuck Swindoll, Chuck Missler, Chuck Stanley. Basically, if you're called Chuck, we'll play your sermon. And we also do Ravi Zacharias and Focus on the Family and lots of good preaching programs. And my program, History Makers, has been going for 11 years now, interviewing people about their faith. I interviewed Fred Bartolo, who's here today as well, a great man of God. And I've interviewed Darren. If you want to hear Darren's interview, all you got to do is do a Google search for History Makers Radio or Matt Prater, and you can listen to Darren's interview or Fred's, or I've interviewed people like Kevin Rudd about his faith, which was an interesting one. I just wish he'd get back to the Bible, but anyway, that's a whole other thing. But yeah, lots of interviews there you can listen to anytime. And if you want to get a copy of those books, they're all available through that website too. Okay, so my wife said I had to plug that, so that's out of the way now. Now, I do have to say my gorgeous wife and kids are are at Caloundra with me on holidays. We've been there for 2 weeks and going home tomorrow. But we love the Sunshine Coast. I keep asking the Lord to call me up here. This is God's country, isn't it? The Sunny Coast. The sun, it should be S-O-N, sunshine, I reckon, because God is shining up here. And we pray that as there was physical rain last night, there'll be spiritual rain over the Sunshine Coast. Amen. So let's pray as we get into the Word today. Father, I just pray that you will bless this message. Lord, as we open up your Word, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll come and make your word come alive today. Lord, open our hearts to receive the word of the Lord. Lord, may we not just hear your word, but be doers of your word. And may our lives be found on the solid rock of Christ Jesus and the word of God. We just ask for your blessing on this church and ask that you'll speak to us and through us today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Now, if you want to open up, I'm going to start my message today at Jeremiah 29:11 to 14, one of my favorite life verses. Wherever I travel somewhere, I always like to start with this and share a bit of my story. So a bit of my testimony. I was born at a young age, originally from Tamworth in New South Wales. There's two types of music I hate, country and western. Grew up in New South Wales and then saw the light and moved to Queensland. But at a young age, I was raised in a very conservative church. And my mum and dad dragged me along to Sunday school every week. And I was so glad that I learnt God's word. I had the seeds of God's word at a young age. How many of you know the next generation need God's word? It is such an important thing for us to pass on the word to the next generation. So I learned all the Bible stories and Bible verses at a young age. But then when I was about 12 or 13, got a bit bored, and I lived in Coffs Harbour at the time and wanted to just go surfing instead. I said to Mum and Dad, I've had enough of church. Too boring for me. I'm out of here, you know. And then when I was about 15, there was this blonde girl at school who was going to youth group. I thought, yeah, I might go along to youth group. And then this blonde girl started going to this, said she was going to go to the youth camp. And I thought, I might go along to the youth camp. And then at the youth camp, at the age of 15, I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed loudly and clearly from the pulpit. Growing up in a Christian household, I had never heard the gospel. I had never heard it. I'd heard all the great moral stuff and the great Christian-y stuff, but the gospel, I'd never heard it until I was 15. And I'm an evangelist, guys. I love guys like Bill Newman and Darren. I love, you know, Billy Graham. You know, they're my heroes in the faith. I'm made to preach the gospel. And I couldn't believe that at the age of 15 was the first time I ever heard the gospel. And it was this hellfire and brimstone preacher from Brisbane who preached at a Wesleyan Methodist youth camp. He said, you know, you've got to turn or burn. You know, he said all that stuff. And you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes will not perish, but will have everlasting life. John 3:16. And I heard the word and I thought, I am in. I want to give my whole life to this. And I forgot about the girl and started to follow God. And I answered an altar call to give my heart to Christ, but I also signed a card that day committing myself to full-time ministry. I had no idea what price I'd pay for that. No idea what it meant at the time. But I just knew that if you're going to be in something, you've got to be all in. Amen. And that's really what my message is about today. Are we following God's call for our lives? Are we all in? Are you half in the kingdom and half in the world? It's not the way we're meant to live. We've got to be all in for the kingdom, amen? So I started at the age of 15, started following Jesus. Straight away, I went back to my school and all my kids, all my mates noticed the difference. I didn't swear anymore. I didn't chase the girls as much anymore. I didn't smoke cigarettes behind the bike sheds. I didn't talk back to the teachers as much. And I started a Christian group at my school. Five of us would pray for revival in our school in Coffs Harbour every week. And then something happened at my school that was on the national headlines. There was a shooting at my school. There was a kid in grade 8 that turned up at school with a gun. He shot one teacher in the chest, one girl in the leg, and one teacher in the hand. Thankfully, no one died that day. But the whole school went into lockdown. The kid was captured. He went to prison for years, and it was just horrible trauma and grief. And lots of kids at our school were suicidal and depressed, and it was just a shocking time for, you know, I was 15, 16 at the time. But you know what our Christian group did? We prayed. And what the devil meant for bad, God used for good. All these kids started coming and asking questions. Tell us about life and death. Tell us about what happens when you die. Tell us about eternity. And so young Matt Prater, at the age of 15, I started preaching the gospel. I had no idea what I was doing. But how many of you know God doesn't care about our ability? God wants our availability. I just stepped up and said, all right, let's go for it. And our Christian group grew from 5. It doubled every week, 10, 20, sometimes 40, 60. Sometimes we had 120 kids coming to our little Christian group at Arara High School in Coffs Harbour. And I was leading this revival at the age of 16, and I had no idea what I was doing. But you know what? We just preached God's word faithfully. We just prayed faithfully. And all these kids came to Christ. I became the youth leader at my local youth group. Ended up going to Bible college, working as a youth pastor for 10 years. All because at the age of 15, I said, God, I'm in. I am all in. God is looking for our availability. Amen. And there's a verse that God spoke to me at that young age that I want to challenge you today. And some of you might think, oh, this verse is good for young people because, you know, I've lived most of my life. But let me tell you, God is a God of second chances. Amen. God is a God of second wins. Amen. No matter what your age, no matter where you're at in your ministry, no matter where you're at in your life, God ain't finished with you yet. Amen. God's got a plan for your life. Let's look at this verse together. Jeremiah 29:11. It says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Now, that's a great verse in itself. And a lot of people stop there and forget about the next couple of verses. I reckon the next couple are even better. But let me just pause there for a moment. God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for your life. Every one of you, God has a plan for you. I remember Rick Warren wrote the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Anybody read that book? When my wife and I were married, we read that book during our honeymoon. Very romantic, I know. We read it together over 40 days of purpose, and we asked God to, we committed our marriage to God, and we decided, all right, God, we want to give our lives to you. And we read through that book, and Rick Warren said, there's two things that matter in life. He said, when you die, you'll stand before God and he'll ask two questions. Number one, what did you do with my son? And if we believe in Jesus, we're born again, amen? We're saved not by works, but by grace and faith, amen? But the second question is so important. God will ask then, what did you do with what I gave you? Every one of us has been given talents. Every one of us has been given a portion of gifts and talents, amen? And we're all called to use them for God's glory. God will ask you the question one day when you stand before him, what did you do with what I gave you? And some say that he might play a videotape, you know, of all the good things we've done, and then we'll get rewarded. I don't know how it's going to work in heaven. I just know that we've got to make the most of every day for Jesus, amen? We're going to make our life count. We can't waste our lives, amen? You know, at the soup kitchen we run at our church is called New Hope. It's next to the Normanby Hotel in Brisbane, if you ever want to come and visit. Our vision is to empty the pub and fill the church. And we run a soup kitchen for the homeless every Friday. I drive around in a 12-seat minibus and invite people from the homeless shelters. I say, hey, do you want to come for a feed? And they go, what's on the menu? I'm like, haven't you ever heard the saying, beggars can't be choosers? Anyway, but we get on the bus and I say, hey guys, my name's Pastor Matt. The other day this guy goes, yeah, and I'm Eddie Spaghetti. It's funny anyway. But we invite them in. We give them a three-course meal. We give them a three-course meal. But before we serve up the food, we preach the gospel every Friday. And every week, a number of people come to Christ. Every single week. Because Jesus told us to seek and save the lost. Amen. I've been pastoring for 11 years now at New Hope, and about 3 or 4 years ago when we started this soup kitchen, I felt God was saying, this is your sweet spot. This is where I've called you to serve. I've placed you in the inner city. And God challenged me, said, if God took our church out of the inner city of Brisbane, who would notice? Well, all the people that come on Sunday would notice, but what about the poor? What about the addicted? What about the lonely? What about those ice addicts? There's an ice epidemic in Australia that is just terrible. What about all them? And God said, go and seek and save the lost. So we actively go out, just like the parable of the king's banquet. We go out into the highways and the byways and we bring them in. We compel them to come in. And many of them are getting saved. They're getting healed. They're getting delivered of their addictions. They're getting baptized in water. A lot of them are going to our rehab and they're now serving and volunteering in the church. Because how many of you know God has a plan and a future for every person, amen? God has a hope and a future for everyone. He's got a plan for everyone. We've just got to bring them into the kingdom of God. Amen. Sometimes they come dragging. I have to drag them kicking and screaming. But when they come in, they feel the love of God. They get fed the physical food, but they get the spiritual food. Amen. The other day we were acting out the parable of the talents, which I think relates to this verse a lot too. You know, the parable of the talents, we acted it out to the soup kitchen because a lot of the homeless people, they have a very short attention span. They'll heckle you and they'll go and get 10 cups of coffee during your sermon and they'll yell out all sorts of things and there's fights and, you know, it's great. It's messy, but I love it, you know. So sometimes we've got to act out Bible stories to get their attention. So we acted out the parable of the talents. I got three people up. I said, this guy's got 5 talents. This guy's got 2 talents and this guy's got 1 talent. And the owner of the field said, okay, I'm going to go away. When I come back, I want to see a return on investment because everyone's been given a portion of talents, haven't we? So the guy with the 5 and the 2, what happened? They doubled it, didn't they? When the master came back, they got a return on investment. And he said, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Who wants to hear that? But what happened to the other guy? He had 1 talent. And he buried his talent. He misunderstood the master, didn't he? A lot of people have a misunderstanding of who God is. He buried the talent. And the master said, away from me, you wicked and lazy servant. I never want to hear those words, wicked and lazy servant. You know, there are people in churches everywhere today that are wicked and lazy, that aren't honoring God with their talents. We've got to make sure we invest our talents and bring a return, amen? So I acted this out at the soup kitchen, and I said to everyone, now it says in the Bible that they sent him away to a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. I said, where do you think that is? And one guy yells out, Centrelink. Yes. Theologically, I could kind of see, no. It's talking about hell, of course, isn't it? Place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I don't want my worst enemy to end up in that place. Every one of us, we've been given a portion, amen? Because God told us, he said, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. This verse is even better. It says, then you'll call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. Isn't that a good promise? He promises that he will listen to us. Then it says in verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with a little bit of your heart. Oh, sorry. Did I get that wrong? Sorry. We can't have heresy here today, can we, Darren? Sorry. Okay. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with 50% of your heart. No, is it wrong again? Okay. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with 99% of your heart. What's it say? Come on, what's it say? We've got to seek him with all of our heart. And here's the promise. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I just believe that as a church, there's a wake up to us right now. What's happened in federal parliament this week? What's happening with euthanasia? What's happening in Israel right now? There is a wake up call. We are in the last of the last days. We are the bride of Christ getting ready for the return of Jesus. Amen. We've got to seek him with all of our heart. While we're in this age of grace, while we have the opportunity, we've got to give God everything. Amen. We've got to go into the highways and the byways. We've got to find our gifts and talents. We've got to serve Jesus. We've got to win souls. We've got to make the most of every opportunity. You know, when there's a relay race and there's the 4 runners that run around and they pass the baton, like at the Olympics, you know, the 4th runner is always the fastest runner, isn't it? I believe our generation is the 4th runner before the return of Jesus. I believe we're in the last of the last days and we're going to run the fastest, amen? Just like in the book of Acts, the guys in the book of Acts are going to go, wow, look at what happened in Australia in the great south land of the Holy Spirit in those last days. Wow. I believe we are the generation and it's time for us to take the gospel to the nations. Amen. It's time for us to invest our talents for the kingdom of God because God wants to prosper us and to give us a hope and a future, but we've got to seek him with all of our heart. You know, if a ship stays in the harbor, it won't be directed by the wind. But if the ship sails on open seas and sets its sails, it will be directed by the wind. As Christians, We need to lift our hands and say, God, I want to seek you with all of my heart. Lift our hands like we're setting our sails. And we need to let the Holy Spirit lead us to be the men and women of God we're called to be. Amen. Are you sitting in the harbour with your sails down? Some people say, oh, God never speaks to me. God never leads me. God never guides me. I love what Martin Luther says about that. He said, God doesn't show us the whole staircase. He just shows us the next step. You know, the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Just take that next step. Maybe it's serving in worship ministry. Maybe it's serving in kids ministry. Maybe it's, I know Darren's saying there's a youth ministry starting up. Maybe you're going to get involved in there. Maybe you're going to go and do missions. Maybe you're going to, you know, come and help us at Vision Radio. You know, a lot of you guys have got good faces for radio. You'd be great, you know. Maybe it's on social media. There's a massive opportunity to win souls through social media right now. There's a great opportunity we have. Maybe it's teaching RE at the local schools. Maybe it's prayer and fasting. Whatever you're called to do, do it with all of your heart. Amen. Lift up your hands and set your sails and say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do today? Lead me by your Spirit, God. I want to be the man of God that you've called me to be. I want to be the woman of God you've called me to be. I want to hear those words, good and faithful servant. You know, years ago, one of my favorite interviews on History Makers was a guy from Africa named Stephen Lungu. This big, big, strong African man. And he shared his story that just absolutely blew me away. It's actually featured in one of the books I've done. He shared that as a young boy, he had been abused by his parents, abandoned by his parents, raised in an orphanage in Africa. And he'd been bullied in this orphanage. And so he ran away and joined a gang. And this gang was well known for killing people. And every time they killed someone, they'd put a notch on their belt. And he had notches all around his belt because of the murder that he'd committed. And he'd been lied to. He'd been told that the Bible was a book for white people to show how much black people are evil. So he'd been brainwashed. So he's in this kind of cult, this terrorist cult that was brainwashed about racism. And so he hated Christians. And so he decided one day he was going to take three of his mates, pack up their backpacks with explosives and blow up the local church. So he turned up at a building like this. And they agreed that they'd blow it up at 7 o'clock at night, in the middle of the night service. And he turned up 5 minutes early and he sat up the back row. And he thought, well, I'm 5 minutes early. I can't blow it up. You know, at least he was punctual, you know. So he waited 5 minutes while the preacher was preaching. And the preacher was talking about the story of the prodigal son. You know, the story where the father gave the inheritance to the son. The son went and squandered it in wild living and prostitutes. And then the son thought, maybe I could be a servant in my father's house. Once again, he had a misunderstanding of who the father was. It's interesting, all these things in the Bible about people have a misunderstanding of who the father is. Maybe I could be a servant. But what happened when he came home? The son started coming and the father said, my son who was lost is now found. He was blind, but now he can see. Actually, I thought that'd be a good slogan for your optometry. I was blind, but now I can see. Anyway, but the father pursued the son, didn't he? The father ran to the son, gave him his ring and his robe, and he put it around him and he said, my son that was lost is now found. You see, the son thought, maybe I can be a servant. But the father said, you're still my son. He killed the fatted calf and he celebrated, didn't he? And he blessed his son. That's what God the Father's like. So the preacher was preaching this message and Stephen Lungu was up the back with his backpack on and he was mad. He's like, why is that man talking about me? Why is that man talking? Have you ever felt that before when someone's preaching and you think it's just for you? It's the Holy Spirit bringing the word into your heart, isn't it? And so he got mad. And then the preacher said, if you've sinned, no matter how bad your sin is, God can forgive you of your sin. The blood of Jesus can wash away all your sins. Who wants to be born again? Who wants to be saved? And Stephen Lungu stood up, walked down the front, put his backpack of explosives on the pulpit, on the altar, and said to the pastor, please forgive me, pastor. I want to give my life to Jesus. And the pastor goes, okay. And he said, yeah, I'm part of this terrorist gang. I was going to blow up the building tonight. Here's my explosives. And the pastor went, okay. I want to give my life to Christ. And how many of you know, when he asked Jesus to forgive him of his sins, all his sins were washed away that night. He was transformed. And Stephen Longo went on to explain that that night he went to the local police and turned himself in. He said, look, I'm this guy from this gang. I've done all this terrible stuff. I'm here to turn myself in. And the police chief said, well, he said, what are you doing this for? He said, well, at the church I went and I got forgiven of my sins. And the police chief said, well, if they'll forgive you, I'll forgive you. You're free to go. And then he went and he was mentored by the man who founded Operation Mobilization and discipled. How many of you know we need to disciple new believers like this, teach them in the ways of the Lord? And he now has 10 orphanages all throughout Africa with this wonderful mission called African Enterprise. How many of you know God can use our mess to become our message? God can turn our scars into our stars, amen? Our test can become our testimony. And in the interview, I said to him, so mate, what's it like running all these orphanages? And he goes, you know who I'm rescuing? You know who I'm caring for in those orphanages? I'm caring for me. I'm caring for little 8-year-old Stephen Longo, who was abandoned by his parents, who had to go to an orphanage. And I'm caring for these kids in a godly way, and I'm raising them in the ways of the Lord. So with what God did at that altar that night, tens of thousands of children are now impacted all throughout Africa and around the world through one man saying, yes, God, I'm all in. How many of you know God has a plan and a purpose for every life? No matter how bad things are, God can, just like Saul was turned to Paul, amen? God can use anyone, amen? So make sure that you are living the life God has called you to. Okay, point number two, before I get too carried away today, stand on God's word no matter what gets thrown at you. So my first point, I kind of skimmed over it, but if you're taking notes, ask God what is his plan for you. God's got a plan and a purpose for every one of you. Ask God and be obedient. Point number two, stand on God's word no matter what gets thrown at you. Anybody here feel like they've been in a battle lately? I'm telling you, every day we're in a spiritual battle. We have an enemy called the devil who came to steal, kill, and destroy, it says in John 10:10. But Christ came to give us life and life abundantly, amen? Every day we start in this battle. From the moment we wake up, there's a battle between the flesh and the spirit, a battle between angels and demons all around us. But we need to know God's word to stand against the attacks of the enemy. I'm going to share this passage from Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 20, if you're taking notes, if you want to turn there. One of my favorite passages about the armor of God. I believe that once we've found our call and we start stepping out in faith, how many of you know we've got a target on our back and the enemy comes in against us? But we've got to learn to hold up the word of God. We've got to be able to say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, amen? It's not by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We've got to learn to speak God's word in context. You know, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, the devil came and tried to quote God's word out of context to deceive him. Because that's what the devil does. He twists the truth, doesn't he? Just like Adam and Eve, he twisted. Did God really say you can't eat of the fruit? The devil twists the truth of the scripture. But Jesus quoted the word in context, didn't he? Amen? And we've got to make sure that we read the scriptures in context, because when you take the text out of the context, all you're left with is a con. You like that? Yeah, see what I did there, yeah? When you take the text out of the context, all you're left with is a con. When you study God's word, when you speak God's word, you've got to know the context of God's word. And you know, we've got to realize that Jesus won the battle on the cross 2,000 years ago, amen? When we pray, we don't pray to get victory, we pray from a place of victory. Because Jesus won the battle on the cross. In 1 John it says, Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy, amen? So we need to make sure that we stand firm. And you know, a lot of people think the devil is really scary. And you know, he is crafty, he is evil, but he was defeated at the cross. We have won the battle, amen? We have won the victory. Anybody read Revelation? Jesus wins in the end, amen? We've got to make sure that we look at the big picture. And a lot of people think the devil's so dangerous, but I don't know if you know, but the devil's actually just got a couple of stumps. His feet are cut off. He just gets around on his knees because he was defeated at the cross. You like that? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Okay, let's look at this verse. Ephesians 6, verse 10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, and the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. After you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm with a belt buckle of truth around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish some of the arrows of the evil one. Oh, sorry, did I get that wrong again? I keep getting that word wrong. It says, with which you can extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. Amen? We need that shield of faith. And then the last one, which we're going to focus on, is the second answer, the helmet of salvation. And then the last one is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen? We've got to make sure that we are dressed in the armor of God. I pray this prayer every day. I put on the armor of God in the morning every day. And I pray for my wife and kids that they'll be dressed in the armor of God. I actually heard a great preacher recently say, this isn't just about us putting on the armor of God, but us putting it on other people. I pray for my church to be dressed in the armor of God every day. We can pray for others to be dressed in the armor of God. But think about the sword. Like, if my brother over here was, if I had a sword, right, and it was really blunt, and I was really unhappy with him, I wanted to try and cut his leg off, and I had a blunt sword, really wouldn't do a good job, would it? But what happens if I have a sharp sword? And slice it right off. How many Christians have a blunt sword? I love you, brother. I wouldn't do it to you, you know. How many Christians have a blunt sword? How many Christians don't know God's word in context? How many Christians can't speak the word of God? My kids sometimes have night terrors, and I've taught them that if they wake up in the night just to say, Jesus, heal me, or Jesus, deliver me, or I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus, and they've learned to do that themselves now, and I don't have to go in and pray for them because they settle themselves down, and the Holy Spirit does the work, amen? We've got to learn to be able to stand up with the armor of God and use the authority of the word of God. Now, I might just get my brother to come up here again just for a moment. So, mate, if you can face that way, and I'll face this way, okay? Now, imagine he's dressed in the armor of God. He's got the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Yep, the word of God. And I've got my armor here, and I'm dressed, you know. One interesting thing about the armor of God is it's the breastplate of righteousness, but there's nothing to cover your back, is there? That's why we need each other in the church, amen? We need to get each other's backs, don't we? We need to make sure that we use our sword against the enemy, not backstabbing each other. Not having to go, not having a roast preacher for lunch every Sunday after the sermon, you know. Not gossiping or slandering and picking on each other, you know. Why would we waste our energy on friendly fire against our brothers and sisters? What does Psalm 133 say? Where there is unity, the Lord commands a blessing. We need to lock shields together in the church. We need to make sure we don't. So I've got this 180 covered. Any enemy that comes, I'm ready to take him on. He's got that side covered. We need each other in the church, amen? We need to make sure that we stand firm together, amen? And we need to practice the sword of the Spirit and sharpen our swords, amen? Give this brother a hand. Thank you, mate. Let's go on to this, to verse 18 there. Verse 18, it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So I just want to challenge you. I know I've been a believer since I was 15. I'm 42 now, over the hill, you know, not long to go till I see Jesus. But you know what? Sometimes, I don't know about you, but you get a bit stale in your prayer life. Sometimes you can get a bit dry and you can pray the same old, same old. And I just want to encourage you to be creative with your prayers. Read through the book of Psalms, 150 Psalms. There is every human emotion covered throughout all the Psalms. You've got to be honest before God when you pray. Just recently, I haven't told anyone here yet, but just recently I was diagnosed with angina. Apparently I'm going to have to get a stent in my heart. I'm getting tests and all this stuff. I'm on medication and it's like, oh, you know, what's the next thing that's going to happen? You know, but you know what? I'm believing God for healing, amen? And I've been honest before God. I'm like, God, this is not right. I don't want to have this diagnosis at this age. I'm every man and his dog. I preached at my church 2 weeks ago and announced it. And I said, let's just deal with it now. Come on, elders. The Bible says, call the elders of the church, anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will make you well. Amen. So I got my elders to come and pray for me right in the middle of church. How many of you know we need to just be honest with God in our prayers? And feel free to tell God if you're going through a tough time. Be real with God. Let's make sure we're not praying these fake religious prayers. You know, Jesus had a go at the Pharisees and the hypocrites, didn't he? For putting on a show with their prayers. But what does it say here in Ephesians? Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Another verse says, pray unceasingly, doesn't it? Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And then it says, with this in mind, here's another way to pray. Be alert and keep on praying for the Lord's people. Keep praying for each other. Keep praying for our brother who's having an operation and our brother who's needing healing. Keep praying for our children for the next generation. Pray for our leaders in our nation, amen? Pray for Jerusalem, for the peace of Jerusalem and what's happening in Israel right now. Pray. Be creative in your prayers. Imagine if I took my wife out for a date every week. We have date night on Mondays. Imagine if I took her out every week and took her to the same restaurant and we had the same conversation every week. Do you think she'd get a bit stale and bored with me, you know? I'd get in a lot of trouble, I tell you, if I tried to do that. She likes me to wine her and dine her and take her out and do special things. And she likes me to write poems to her. She likes me to be creative and keep the spark alive, amen? The same with our relationship with God. If you're stale in your prayer life, be creative. Write down your prayers, like the Psalms. Write down. I do journaling, and our church at New Hope, we encourage people to read through the Word every year. We read 5 chapters a day, and then we write down the SOAP, Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. And we feed ourselves on God's Word every day. And every day you're writing down a prayer to God. And you can look over your journals and see how God's answered those prayers and how God's matured you over the years. We've got to make sure that we have the Word and prayer. It was actually, just as we were worshiping before, I felt the Lord give me this quote to share with you as a church. Too much of just the Spirit and you'll blow up. Too much of just the Word and you'll dry up. A good combination of the two and you'll grow up. Amen? Too much of just the Spirit and you'll blow up. Too much of just the Word and you'll dry up. A good combination of the Word and the Spirit and you'll grow up. Amen? Make sure in your prayer life, you pray the Word. Find Scriptures and pray that Word. And God loves it when you quote His Word to Him. It's His love letter to us, isn't it? Pray the Word. If you're dry in your prayer life, be creative in your prayers. Let the Holy Spirit lead you as you pray. And it says, keep on praying for the Lord's people. And I love what the Apostle Paul here says to the church in Ephesus. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given so that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. If you don't like Pastor Darren's preaching, it's your fault. You're not praying for him. You've got to pray for your preachers and your churches, amen? Pray for our leaders. I don't know if you know the stresses that pastors go through just to run a church service every Sunday. You know, I guarantee Pastor Darren, it's probably the last thing he thinks about at night and the first thing he thinks about in the morning, what's going on in this church. He's a shepherd over this flock and he cares for his sheep. I know him well. He loves this church. But he's under attack from the enemy all the time. Pray for him. Pray for his marriage. Pray for his children. Pray for his finances. Pray for his health. It's your job to be praying for the leaders of the church. Amen? So keep on praying for the leaders. Pray also for when I speak that I may be given, that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So the Apostle Peter is asking for people to pray for him there. It's so good. And point three, just as we're getting ready to wrap up soon, this is the most profound godly wisdom I've heard in a long time, and it's so simple. You're probably sitting on the edge of your seat waiting to hear this point. So Pastor Brian Houston from Hillsong Church was interviewed once about the success of Hillsong. You know, sung in most churches around the world, planted churches all over the world. He said, what's the secret to success? And I was listening to him going, wow, I can't wait to hear this. What's Brian Houston going to say? You know, he's one of my heroes in the faith. What is he? And you know what he said? This is profound. You might want to write this down. Just keep turning up. That was it. Just keep turning up in Jesus' name. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Brian Houston, you know how he talks, you know. Just keep turning up. It's quite simple, but so important for us in this day and age. People can't commit to marriages these days. People can't commit to jobs. People can't commit to diets. People can't commit to their own health. People can't commit to all sorts of things. We've got to be committed to the Lord, amen? We've got to just keep turning up. Be faithful to what God's called you to do. Whether you're going through a storm or whether you're going through a good time, in good time or bad time, just be faithful. Just keep turning up. Let's look at this verse in James. This is James 1, verse 2 to 8. And I've actually got this from the Message version. I like to call it the Massage version as well, because it's a paraphrase. But I really like the way Eugene Peterson puts it in this one. This is a great encouragement. He says, consider it sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you at all sides. It's a different perspective, isn't it? When you go through a test and a challenge, consider it pure joy, it's basically saying. You know that under your pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colours. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed and not deficient in any way. If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help, and you'll get his help, and you won't be condescended to when you ask for it. And this is the key verse I'm going to close with today. I really want you to get this. When you pray, ask boldly and believingly without a second thought. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the Master that way. Adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. When you pray, pray in faith and believe that God will guide you. Amen? When you say, God, how can I serve you in ministry? Believe that he's going to show you the answer to that. Believe that he's going to open the right doors and close the wrong doors. Believe that his Holy Spirit will lead you. Pray, ask boldly and believingly. So 3 points today. Number one, ask God, what is his call for your life? Number two, stand on God's word no matter what gets thrown at you. And number three, just keep turning up. You know, one of my favorite stories of ministering to a detention center in Brisbane recently, you know, with all the asylum seekers, and there was a real crisis a couple of years ago, and at Pinkenbar in Brisbane, there was a detention centre where they were sent from Manus Island or Darwin if they had a severe medical problem. And so our church had a real heart. We thought, God's called us to care for the poor. He's also called us to care for the refugees. So let's go and minister to them. God's brought them to this nation. It's the great South Land of the Holy Spirit. Let's go and win them for Jesus. Amen. So we went into this detention center. And the first time I went in there, and I was just bold as brass. You know, how many of you know the Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. Amen. So I went in there, and straight away I saw a guy in a wheelchair from Iran, a Muslim guy. And I went straight up to him. I said, g'day, mate. I'm Pastor Matt from New Hope Church. I'm here because Jesus has told me to come in here and pray for people. Can I pray for you? And he goes, okay. And he had a busted knee. And I said, Lord Jesus, I pray you'll heal him right now in Jesus' name. Amen. All of a sudden he starts going, oh, it's hot. It's hot. Whoa. And I said, what's the matter? Is everything okay? And everyone's, all the security guards, everyone's looking at me. And he goes, oh, wow. It's better. It's better. It's healed. And I said, wow, that's great. He said, how did you do that? I said, I didn't do it. It's Jesus. I just prayed for Jesus to heal you. And he says, tell me more about this Jesus. And so I explained to him about Jesus, how he died on the cross and rose from the dead. And I said, Jesus has just healed you. And he goes, oh, I want to know this Jesus. I said, all right, let's pray. So we prayed the sinner's prayer, and I gave him a Bible in Farsi, which was his local tongue. And I said, read this every day, and God's going to speak to you. And he goes, okay. 1 week later, I go back and visit him. And his knee's all better, he's healed, and he's, you know, excited. And I don't know why he's still there, but anyway, that's all paperwork probably. But I said to him, how are you going? He goes, you're not going to believe it. I said, what? He said, every night I read my Bible. And then when I go to sleep, Jesus appears to me in my dreams. He's dressed in white. He has a beard and he's glowing. And he says, I'm going to lead you to the truth. I'm going to take you on a journey. And Jesus speaks to me in my dreams every night. I'm like, come on, Jesus, how good is this? This is the easiest evangelism ever, you know? It's like the show and tell version of evangelism. You show them the gospel and then tell them the gospel, and then Jesus appears to them in their dreams every night, amen? So this guy, Tahir, he's actually one of my Facebook friends now. He's part of a Uniting Church down in Adelaide, and he leads a Bible study, and he spent lots of time ministering to people in that detention center and leading lots of people to Jesus. Because God has a plan and a purpose for that man, amen? How many of you know we just got to step out in faith? We just got to be bold. We just got to take that step. I want to challenge you today. Where is your call? Where is your harvest field? Where is your soup kitchen? Where is your detention center? Where is your media ministry? Where is your school ministry? Where is your youth ministry? Where is your prayer ministry? Where is God calling you to serve? When you put your hand to the plow, do it with all your might. Put your whole heart into it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen. I want to encourage you. I believe we're in these last days. And Jesus said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? Are we going to be found faithful with what God's entrusted to us? Let's stand to our feet and let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for every person you brought here to this church today, Lord. I thank you, Father, for your amazing love for every one of us. And I pray, Father, that as we close this service today, I pray, God, if there's anyone here that needs to get their life right with you, that you would come by your Holy Spirit and just touch people's hearts today. I pray, God, that every one of us will be awakened to be the sons and daughters of the Most High God that you've called us to be. I've got two questions to ask as we close the service today. First question is this. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you know that if you stood before God today and he asked you that question, what have you done with my son? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? Do you know that you're born again? Do you know that he will welcome you in because of the blood of Jesus? The Bible tells us if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and is risen from the dead, then we will be saved. Maybe today's the day for you to say, yep, I want to give my life to Jesus. Just with every eye closed and every head bowed. You know, the Bible says all those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Is today your day to call on the name of the Lord? With every eye closed and every head bowed. Just put your hand up today if that's you. If you want to say, yes, Jesus, I want to give my life to you today. I want to be born again. I want to be saved, have my sins forgiven. Is there anyone here today who wants to give their life to Jesus? Good on you, sweetheart. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Anybody else want to give their life to Jesus today? Doesn't matter what age you are. Well, let's all pray this prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins and make me born again. I turn from my wicked ways and I surrender my life to you. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you if you prayed that prayer. And maybe you prayed that as a recommitment to the Lord. I encourage you, maybe if you're like this beautiful young girl here who put her hand up today, doesn't matter what age you are, I encourage you to make sure that you keep following Jesus with all of your heart. The second question I want to ask today as we close the service, are you following God's call for your life? Some of you today, as I've shared this message, you've thought about the dreams that you've had. And you thought, you know what? I never really stepped out and did that thing that God spoke to me about. I never really started stepping out in faith and using my gifts and talents for God. Maybe there's an area of ministry you feel called to, but you've never taken that step of faith. I'd love to pray for you today. I believe that the Holy Spirit can touch you today and fill you with his power. I believe the Holy Spirit can speak to you today and raise you up to the man, to be the man or woman of God you've been called to be. So I'm going to open the altar today as we close the service. If you'd like me to lay hands on you and pray for you, I love to prophesy over people. I love to pray for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you'd like a touch from God to step out into what God's called you to, I'd love to pray for you. And also, if you need healing in your body today, I believe that Jesus still heals today. Amen.
Yes.
Just like Taher was healed, that friend of mine from Iran, his knee was healed. Recently, I was in, actually had an amazing miracle. I was over in, where was I recently? Cambodia. Prayed for a lady who came out the front. I had no idea what was wrong with her. Prayed for her, and all of a sudden, she started looking around going, oh, wow. I said, what happened? And they said, yeah, she was blind. She can see. I'm like, wow, that is awesome. Doesn't even need an optometrist. That's incredible. I just believe that Jesus heals, amen. And we need to step out in faith and pray for healing wherever we go. So if you need healing today in your body, come out the front and we'd love to pray for you as we close the service today. Thanks.
Hey, why don't you put your hands together for Matt for us? Come on.